This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Cheung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. Noelle Kun joins us in the studio this week with ethical fashion label Kanuwear.
Okay, so we have a lot of floral prints in very nice spring colors. They are like floral, like to say during spring all the flowers pop out. That's how Sunday mornings look.
After that, Florence Song style lead at Zalora and our very own BFMer Othniel Ting share their take on the crochet apparel.
Think of DIY, something that you would do yourself, or your mom or your grandmother would do. But these days, they seem to, a multitude of items are springing up in the high street stores and even designer stores.
But before we get to that, let's speak to our style makers for this week, Noelle Kun. To promote better living throughout the design and production process, Kanuwear has grown since 2016 to be one of the few sustainable fashion labels in Malaysia. After venturing through different life paths, the founder kickstarted the brand to embrace her love for fashion and spread her tropical designs to promote ethical apparel. Noelle Kun joins us this week as she shares her personal style, her views on sustainable fashion, her inspirations from traveling, as well as the small team that grew her from one woman operation. Now, how important is ethical fashion?
Ethical fashion is really important for us to think about while we are shopping and doing our daily life, because we do want to do things well in a sense that we do care about the people around us and the environment. So it's to see through the process of design and how we source things and the people we work with and how we work with them, and making sure that we do things well, to the best of our abilities, and they also gain and profit and benefit from the process.
So you mentioned that, whenever people go shopping, we have to think about ethical fashion when we are at the store buying the clothing there. But what comes to mind, and what do we have to look out for, and what do we have to think about, when it comes to ethical fashion?
I think it's important to see the impact of fashion in this world, how it impacts like mass production. Is it beneficial to us? So it's to double think when you shop and think, is there a way I can shop in which it will help to contribute to the better of society and the environment? So you may be looking at fabrics that are more sustainable, mm-hmm. and the processes of how the garment is made. But at times, you have to be able to just learn as you go, because sometimes ethical fashion can be quite expensive. So it's also to see, will I wear this long term? So learn to shop in a sense that I love this outfit and I'll wear it for a long time. So yeah, feel free to just buy it.
So when it comes to ethical fashion, right, what are the things that we have to look out for, perhaps maybe on the tags or something?
I like natural fibers. So I basically, when I design, I like working with cotton, linen, silk, and all these things that are made from natural fibers. So that is what I see as important. And also, there are some tags that label how things are produced or that it is organic and certified. So sometimes you want to look at that too when you shop for ethical wear, fair trade. Yeah, making sure that they actually look after the people that make the garments.
And you mentioned earlier that some clothing, can be expensive, which consumers wouldn't really buy it. So why do you think that ethical fashion would be expensive?
There's a collection that I created which was more handmade. So I need to pay for the time and the cost of it. So it ends up being more expensive because of what it is worth. Mm-hmm. So at times when we produce things behind the scenes, it might take more cost to produce something because we are making sure we pay the person well, and the processes, we make sure that, it is done properly, not mm-hmm. taking any shortcuts or using any things that are harmful.
So how ethical are your designs?
Our designs, I try to do the best I can to make sure that I do things in a way where it benefits like my tailor, and I source fabrics that I know that are sustainable, like a natural fiber. So that's how I work with it, and I'm growing also in the process.
Why the name Kanuwear?
Kanuwear I wanted something to be more personal, but I did not want to use my name. Mm-hmm. So about 3 years before I started my label, I came out with that name. And it's a play with my name, Canoe Ware, my surname and my first name. And also it represents like the boat canoe that loves to travel and embrace life and just collect beauty from everywhere.
And back to the how ethical are your designs, right? I'm just thinking, when you mentioned that you have your seamstress, your tailor, and then you have your assistant with you. I mean, in terms of designing, what's the process like?
For the design process, so usually I will find a fabric that really inspires me or I find beautiful. And from there, I would make some sketches. From the sketches, I'll pick the best and create a pattern make. And after that, I would get my tailor to create the samples. I used to sew, but now I don't. Mm-hmm. And after that, we'll check the samples. And if we like it, we'll just proceed to creating it.
Why do you no longer sew?
I would say that it's not my strength. And other people can do it better than me. And other than that, I have so many other things to do because mm-hmm. I'm running the whole business. So mm-hmm. there's the marketing, there's the designing, there's seeing to different things, pop-ups. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I noticed you primarily started out the design field and carried out on to have a wider experience in it. Can you tell us the journey you had before you created this label?
I've always loved art and design. And fashion was something that really popped up and made my heart beat when I was like younger. So I wanted to do fashion and I told my dad, but he did not let me do it at first, but I was really persistent. And even when I was in my first year of uni studying the Bachelor of Arts and Science, I was still persistent in doing fashion. And my father caved in. He was like, okay, you seem passionate and persistent. Go and do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided to find a place still in Australia to study fashion. So I was studying fashion in Sydney, Australia. And I did well, won some competitions and a scholarship to Italy. So I was in Florence, Italy after that for a year. And when I came back, I was on a different journey. I wanted to like contribute back to society and I thought fashion was vanity and all that. And that's when I decided to like teach in high school because the opportunity popped up. So I was a high school teacher for 2 years.
Wow, what were you teaching?
I was teaching art and biology because I love biology too.
Interesting. A fashion designer as well as a biology teacher. You've studied fashion in Australia and Italy. How have these places influenced your design?
I believe that Australia has really helped to like purify my design because when I was in Malaysia, there was a mix of a lot of things. So being in Australia, it really helped me to get back to the basics and learn the fundamentals of design. And also they have a very laid-back kind of culture that helped form my way of design and what I like and the lifestyle that they live. It's really more of in nature, slow pace and all that. And also in Italy, it's beautiful. They use the highest quality of fabric and even in their cooking, you know, it's very simple, but they use the best of everything. So that is what I've learned from these places.
I mean, being traveled to these places, you know, how and what do you think Malaysia is lack of or needed, you know, in the fashion industry?
In Malaysia, the fashion industry is very focused mainly on maybe what the celebrities are wearing or what people overseas, the designers overseas are wearing. But we haven't yet learned to maybe embrace us as a tropical people. You know, we live in this beautiful tropical culture and a tropical life all around us. And now only maybe there's a trend that's picking up on the tropics mm-hmm. that is worldwide. But we have to learn to actually embrace it. You know, the traditional history of like batik and just our resort, our beaches, all that culture, we have to learn to embrace it. Yeah.
Do you think Malaysia has been or soon, you know, to practice ethical fashion?
For ethical fashion in Malaysia, I think it will take time as people learn the consequences. So if they see how we can actually better look after our country and our environment with our choices, including fashion, then people will start to take more initiative in making sure they contribute in part of their lifestyle.
You started off as a one-woman operation. Who else manages this and other than yourself?
I have part-time assistants that help me. So thanks to like Vanessa and Sarah, who really help me in the daily runs of things. as well as my full-time tailor, who really is the best.
The apparel you design highly promotes sustainable fashion, right? Have you always been environmentally conscious?
Yes, I believe I have always have that thing in me. And before that, I was a bit maybe too passionate and it comes to being very, maybe a bit more aggressive. So now I'm a bit more moderate.
You also had a pop-up store in Wanotama recently. How's the response like?
The response, it was all right. It was also based on the products that I brought. So it's knowing what people like and where they are at. I would say in a more commercial place like Wanotama, it will be a bit more difficult because it's very commercial and there's a lot of other things around.
Very busy, right?
It's very, very busy. So my pop-ups in places that are more focused on creativity, like perhaps Publica or Rio, where the people who go really embrace art and culture and the lifestyle, they are the ones who would really appreciate it more.
So have you been setting up pop-up stores anywhere else?
Yes, so I went to Hint's pop-up in Penang, which I love. It's amazing. It's on every Sunday. And also, I would join like pop-up in KK or Kuching or elsewhere.
Why not set up a proper store?
I would say it would be good if I find the right place and at the right time and the right cost too, because it would take a lot to perhaps maintain it, you know, the overheads. I believe like maybe in the first year of business, you want to learn to understand the business more and engage through that.
In today's fashion world, mass production transforms designs to retail garments in just a few weeks, you know. I mean, slow fashion, on the other hand, represents the need to change that. So would you consider your brand part of this movement?
I would say that I'm learning to be part of this movement a little better because I've seen the consequences of moving so fast. I feel that in this fast-paced society, sometimes it's so hard to breathe because we're just on the go all the time. And I'm honestly a very fast person. If I hang out with my friends, I'll always be walking like super fast or talking super
fast. Me too. I can't take slow people.
Yes, exactly. So my nature is always fast. But I also see that it's so important to learn to slow down because that's when you learn to embrace life a bit, you know, talk to people. I have to also think of like financial sustainability on that hand. That's why people mass produce because it can be a bit more, I would say, profitable maybe if they do that. But it's also important to see like if you create too much and there's not enough demand, then it doesn't make sense. So it's always make sure to also see the demand and go with it. So it's very healthier, I would say.
I realize your designs has more of a flowy, loose feel and, you know, looks really comfortable. Would you say that's your style?
I believe that that's more of my style, but perhaps I might not always be that colourful, but I love playing with colours. I love colours a lot. So I put that a lot in my designs.
In terms of your designs that you have, which is so flowy, you know, who do you cater to?
I definitely cater to girls who are a bit more out there. It's like they don't really care what other people think, but they just wear it if they like it. So I realize most of my customers are girls who just really enjoy dressing up and traveling and
And then where do you source your fabrics?
My fabrics, I do have like just say a local supplier who gets fabrics from other places. And also I would travel to India and see, because they have a long history of textiles. So I would go to these places and fall in love with a certain fabric and bring them back.
So how do you ensure it's suitable with your brand's image?
Because usually when I meet fabric producers in overseas like India, I would be able to see their workroom and how they do it. So I'll ask them questions like, do you use natural dye or all that? And they would tell me the processes.
What is the creative progress, you know, when you design a new collection with a small team? Where do you make these garments?
Usually my full-time tailor would sew most of the garments. But at times when there's more needed, when there's more of a demand, then I will outsource to a local production house.
Walk us through your designs, you know, starting with the latest collection, Sunday Mornings.
Okay, so Sunday Mornings, it has a lot of flow and ruffles and floral feel to it. And I really like how it is. And it's all about just relaxing, you know, taking life one day at a time and just learning to let go, you know, let go and just relax a little. So that is what Sunday Mornings are about, and to just live for Sunday Mornings.
So what kind of designs do you have for Sunday Mornings?
So for Sunday Mornings, I have a lot of long flowy dresses and ruffle tops, and they're very easy to wear, I would say. You just slip them on and you feel really pretty in them.
And in terms of the prints?
Okay, so we have a lot of floral prints in very nice spring colors. They are like floral, like just say during spring, all the flowers pop out. That's how Sunday mornings look.
So when looking at your designs and the prints and all, I mean, I see you don't really have to follow the trends that is happening around us, right? So it's all about your style, your prints, you know, and your designs. Am I right?
Yes, but I feel that when my eyes look around, I also catch things that are around that I like and then put them together. So it will always kind of be in sync with what's going on around.
And what about your Tropical Fiesta and Classic Batik? Your Classic Batik collection sells mostly simple batik tops and crop tops as well. So in terms of the batiks, you know, why not full dresses?
Perhaps I'll create full dresses soon. But I would say that for tops, it's easier to wear. Like people will just see tops and they're like, hey, I can wear that. So it's easier to maybe pair it with jeans or skirt. Yeah. And, you
know. And it's never enough of tops, right?
Yes.
I'm always searching for tops anyway. Are the batiks made by you then?
No, the batiks are not made by myself, but I source them.
Where do you source them from?
So these batiks are actually Indonesian batiks.
So what makes your designs unique, you know, compared to other brands out there?
I would say that perhaps Canoe always evolves. So when we see something beautiful that we like when we travel, we will try to create something from that and bring it back to like a very tropical context. So most ladies who buy our garments really enjoy wearing it. And they will purchase it before they go on a vacation or something. So we just want to always create clothes that are very fresh. I think keeping fresh all the time is important. So gaining new inspiration during our daily lives or travel really helps.
I'm sure you have faced quite a number of challenges while starting this business, right? So what were the challenges you faced along this journey in terms of maintaining the environmentally conscious design?
I would say learning to hold back on doing mass production because it's easy to just hop into that bandwagon. So the challenge would be to stop and think
slow carefully. Down.
Yeah, slow down a bit.
So what's the future of your brand then?
The future of the brand is to just really make sure it grows healthily. So to just care for it and see it grow. To be honest, I think I'll just work on getting people to know more about Canoe and watching it grow from there. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of collaboration, do you plan to collaborate with any designers in Malaysia perhaps?
There's a resort that I'm collaborating with in Langkawi soon. So perhaps it might be a different kind of collaboration around, like maybe with music artists.
Interesting. And, yeah. How does it link then?
Perhaps they are more of the kind that are local and they embrace our culture, so it links. So it's about working with people where when it comes together, it becomes stronger.
And finally, where can interested buyers look for Canoe Wear?
Okay, so you can hop onto our website, www.canoewear.com. Follow us on Instagram, where we'll always have our latest updates. Also, we have a lot of pop-ups here and there, so it's better for you to just follow our Instagram to find out where we'll be next.
That was Noelle Khan, founder of Canoe Wear. Stay tuned because coming up next is Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, and Othniel Ting as they discuss the summer trend of crochet apparel. But before that, here's a vibe that came to mind when I was looking through the Canoe Wear's designs, a track by Hole called Malibu. This is Style File, and I'm Madeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Starfile. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, as well as BFM's own Othniel Ting, talk about these styling tips for crochet wear. And this week, we are talking about crochet. Well, the 70s boho trendy pattern spotted on dresses, bags and even swimwear. So Florence, give us a quick breakdown on the trend.
So crochet has been around since the 60s and the 70s. You know, mm-hmm. It's a material that when you think of it, you think of hippies, you think of old ladies, you think of cozy knits, cardigans, scarves, blankets.
Rocking chairs.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Rocking chairs. Think of DIY, something that you would do yourself or your mom or your grandmother would do. But these days, they seem to, you know, a multitude of items are springing up in the high street stores and even designer stores. Like, if you take a look in Topshop or Zara right now, this season, there's plenty of crochet crop tops, crochet halter necks, everything from, you know, full dresses to even skirts and shorts. It's perfect for, like, you know, the Coachella trend, or even perfect for the upcoming
Music
Good Vibes Festival.
Yeah, that's right. But on a normal day, ordinary day, I don't think crochet would be suitable. Do you think so?
Not if you're going for, you know, colourful crochet. I think you could possibly work it into your workwear outfit if you go for, like, neutral colours, like a neutral crochet top. It doesn't have to be the loud, over-the-top kind of crochet dresses.
But it does give the kind of vintage look, right, at the same time.
It does give the vintage look, and it also brings to mind, like, a day at the beach, of course.
Yeah, I did some Googling about menswear when it comes to crochet, and all that came out was like sweaters-like type of crochet. Not sure whether it will fit in Malaysia because it looks quite thick and hot.
Yeah, but maybe not in Malaysia, but other countries.
But if it's made with love, DIY, you know, by your grandmother.
No, maybe your wife or your girlfriend.
Oh, wife or girlfriend. I would definitely wear it in Malaysia.
You would?
I would,
in an air-conditioned room, perhaps.
Yeah,
in the office.
Probably. So what are the best runways you've seen?
So, I mean, crochet has usually been confined on the high street market. And in designer, there's only been Missoni's trademark zigzag creations. But recently, the summer collections even have Dolce & Gabbana with this black knitted dress with oversized orange-shaped buttons. And then there are some, you know, Barry Hute belted creations from Dior as well, which look really beautiful. Even Chanel and Versace had crochet for their resort collections this year.
So how would you style it?
It depends on what item is it. So if it's a crochet top, like a bralette, I'd go for, you know, a more festive vibe, something that you can wear on the weekends, pair it with high-waisted pants or denim. Denim works with crochet really well.
So what kind of crochet is in trend right now?
It ranges from, you know, bralettes, bikinis, crop tops, to even full crochet dresses, like the tight, clingy knit ones. But it's a bit trickier to wear because it's a heavier material.
Do you think that you would invest in it?
I'm not the biggest fan of it because, like I mentioned, crochet is a little trickier to wear because it can make the wearer look bulkier due to its heavier material. So if I go for crochet, I'd probably choose like looser silhouettes or different separates, like a halter top that I can wear with my jeans.
So that was Florence Song of Zalora and Othniel Ting with the latest on the trend of crochet wear. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or you can listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. But before that, here's a mention a remix of Song For You by Rai, played at Hermes Menswear Spring Summer 2019 in Paris. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Madeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.